I want to use for a thought from this passage for these next few moments, companions for a purpose. Companions for a purpose. There is no doubt that our God is undoubtedly a God of purpose. Everything he does has rhyme and reason. He does not do things arbitrarily. He does not do things with what we might say happenstance. He does everything with specific and strategic intent. There is always a divine purpose for why God allows anything to take place on this planet. It is unfortunate that there are many people who live their lives day by day and really who have no particular direction in life because of the fact that they live life without purpose. You have got to have a greater reason for getting up in the morning than to just get up and go to a job. In fact, for many of us, the job that you're on right now is not your work. There's a difference in a job and having something that is really your work or your occupation. So therefore, when a person says to you, what is your occupation, you should sometimes be careful as to how you answer. Because in actuality, what you consider to be your occupation may in actuality be your preoccupation. Because you are waiting until you find your work. And when you find your work, you will be driven now by passion. Because God provides a passion for your work. It fuels what you do. Now, the reason why some of you are so frustrated when you get up on Monday morning having to go to some business center is because of the fact that you're getting up, going to your job and not your work. And if you were actually going to your work, then there probably would not be any frustration or disgust in it, any whatsoever, because you enjoy what you do. I would venture to say that many of us might, now watch this, some of you might be in your work and you are detesting the fact that you're there. Here it is that God wants to use you in the particular environment in which you've been cast. But even though God has put you there, here you are decrying out against it every day and telling everybody about how much you wish that you could find another job and you can't get released. Why? Because you have not completed your work. Your supervisor gives you hell every day. You're sick of him. You're sick of her. And could it be that the reason why you can't get released from that particular place is because you have yet to bring that supervisor to Christ the way the Lord wanted you to? And you will not be released from that place until that which God has given you to do, the persons who are assigned to you in that place, until they have a knowledge of Jesus Christ, you will be there crying the blues every Monday. And it's only because of the fact that you are not driven by purpose, but you are goal-oriented. It is quiet up in here. So there must be a reason why you do what you do. Because in actuality, until you find out what your purpose is, you don't even really have identity. Because many of us, you want to be identified by the title on your job. And that is not who you are. Your job is what you do. It is not who you are. Your purpose defines for you what your identity is. And then separates you and makes you unique from every person who has ever been born to this planet. So you got to find out what you're supposed to be doing. And once you do, now you have no problem knowing who you are. Well, with those thoughts in mind, not only then does God have a strategic and original purpose for you to perform in this earth, there is also a purpose for marriage. And unfortunately, there are many people, even some of us sitting in this room right now, that when you got married, you did not get married for purpose. I knew it was going to be quiet. When you got married, you were probably a victim of the teachings of time gone by, when people would only tell you to get married so that you might be able to fulfill the American dream. Get a husband, get a wife, have some kids, get a car, have a house, get a dog, get a cat. Take trips to Disneyland, and you will have fulfilled the American dream. And so here you fulfill the American dream, but in actuality, you have not fulfilled God's purpose. Because, brothers and sisters, we spend more time planning for a wedding than we do for the marriage. You spend countless hours planning the wedding. You spend thousands of dollars planning the wedding. But you do not plan for after you said, I do. And that's the reason why the struggle is so intense in many of our homes. Because of the fact that the two people who came together got married for love only. And I'm going to show you in just a moment how it is that love alone don't keep a marriage together. Love. Stay with a brother today. Because one of the major difficulties or major problems in the whole selection process is the fact that there are many of us that always go looking for the one and you have yet to become the one. You are looking for a man, you are looking for a woman who is going to complete you. And in actuality, there is no human being on this planet that will ever be able to complete you. Because here's the deal, if you are not complete when you walk into that relationship, because understand something, when God made Adam, Adam was a whole man before Eve ever showed up on the planet. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? In fact, God had to, watch this, Adam had to get married by interruption. You don't understand. Adam was so busy down there working in the garden. He was so busy doing what God told him to do, to dress and keep the garden, that God had to put the boy to sleep and gave him a wife. Because remember, it was God who said, it's not good for the man to be alone. Adam didn't ask for a wife. God said he had to have one. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Why? Because it was the plan of God to be able to have both a man and a woman on this planet to fulfill his purpose. So that's why it says God created man in his own image and after his likeness in his own image. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Now, so let me show you something. So therefore, we got to get beyond this idea of the fact that that man is just this flesh and blood, because that's not it. Remember, he said man created in our image after our likeness, and God is spirit. So if God is spirit and we're created in his image, then it means that man is spirit. So we have a man, male, and we have a woman. Now understand something. So therefore, woman is nothing more than a spirit with a womb. Because woman is a compound word. The wo means womb. Wombed man, or spirit with a womb. You are a female. Compound word again. Female. Fetus male, or the male that carries the fetus. Because, sweetheart, think of your origin. Your origin, watch this, didn't come straight from God. Your origin came from the male man. You are taken out of man. So when God made a woman, he did not go back to the soil. Oh Lord, I'm getting ready to mess up today. That's why the male is the only one called father. And watch this, and father, you ain't gonna like this word, ladies. Father actually means source. So the man becomes your source. If you decide to marry a male, he becomes your source. I knew you weren't going to pray with me. I knew that. That's why I think I better take my jacket off for y'all. I tell you. Yeah, I need a little help here now. So he becomes your source. Y'all with me here? All right, so God says created male and what? Female. Male and female, and the male, it becomes your source. Why? The woman was not an afterthought. She wasn't an afterthought. She was already locked up in the man. Oh, y'all hearing what I'm saying? Woman was not secondary by any stretch of the imagination. Amen. She was already in the man, waiting to be birthed. So therefore, what I'm trying to show you is that a man receiving a woman into his life is supposed to be a birthing channel. Therefore, everything that woman is supposed to be about is supposed to come out of that man. The man is supposed to be a cultivator and a developer. And he was made that way by God to be a cultivator. Therefore, any woman who comes into a man's life, even if that woman does not end up being that man's wife, should be better because the man put his hands on her. Now, listen to me good. When I say he put his hands on her, I ain't talking about he laid hands on her. Because when she leaves him, she shouldn't be pregnant either. Y'all gonna pray with the brother, right? Yeah, she should not be pregnant. Yeah. See, the reason why a lot of our households don't work today is because the two parties was playing house before they set up house. And in the household of faith, it should not be. Oh, Lord. There should be no experimentation until you get married. Because understand something. See, Adam and Eve were both virgins when they got married. Y'all looking at me in horror. Yeah, that's right. They were both virgins when they got married. Hadn't been no sex before Adam and Eve. Oh, Lord. So what am I trying to say? The reason why we have such disparity in marital relationships today is because of the violation of covenant. We are a covenant people, and the covenant that is supposed to exist between a man and a woman should be a blood covenant. Now let me show you why. Because here it is that when God went to get the woman, the Bible says he put Adam to sleep, and then what did he do? He opened up his side. So if he opened up his side, just common sense tells us that something happened when God opened up Adam's side. So when he opened up his side, what do you think came out? Blood. So therefore blood comes out to initiate the blood covenant between a man and a woman. Now let me show you something else before I go to that. Because he opens up his side, so the first thing that we see then is that a man must be willing to make sacrifice for his woman to be born. Because in actuality, this man is laying his life on the line, or should be willing to lay his life on the line to see his bride be birthed. Oh, yeah, because watch this. Because him having his side opened up is nothing more than being the stereotype of being the progenitor for what happened at Calvary. Because in order for Jesus to have his bride, they had to open up his side. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Amen. And so therefore, in order for his bride, the church, to be born, they had to open up Jesus' side. And guess what? Blood is what was sacrificed. So therefore, all you ladies who are unmarried yet, if the guy who is in your life right now is afraid to make sacrifices for you, you better check him out. Amen. Amen. If y'all dating, and listen, and every time y'all dating, here it is, you paying his way, you better check that out. Oh, my God. It's going to get rough. I'm telling you, if you can't stand this, it's going to get rough from here. So the man must be willing to make a sacrifice. In fact, Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So therefore, every man must be willing to make the supreme sacrifice, that the man must be willing to even die for his wife. And sister, you still unmarried and you haven't found a guy who's willing to die for you, run. It is quiet up in here. Amen. Oh, I'm gonna come with it, man. So sacrifice is what this man is supposed to be willing to do. So guess what? The same way he got you is the same way he ought to keep you. Because if he opened doors when y'all were dating, he ought to be opening doors now. Oh, Jesus, help me. Mm-hmm. If he sent cards before y'all got married, he ought to be sending cards now. If he gave flowers before y'all got married, he ought to be giving flowers now. If he's, watch this, because you know what, brothers? You know what one of our major problems is, man? When we were dating a sister, man, you were saying everything and anything you could say. You was rapping. I mean, you was rapping. You were saying all kind of good stuff to her, telling about how pretty she was and how pretty her teeth was, and you loved her legs and how you just loved the way her dress fit and all that kind of stuff. Come on now. Your teeth so pretty, they shine like pearls, and oh, I see the sunlight when I look at all that stuff you did, all them poems you wrote. Staying on the phone to 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, falling asleep on the phone with one another, and then get married and can't talk to each other for 3 minutes. You talk for hours on the phone, and then you get married and spend no time thinking about each other at all. I submit to us today, brothers, one of our major problems is you stop rapping. You stop saying the stuff that got you in with that girl. And then here it is, you get married to her, now y'all some years down the road, and you don't talk sweet anymore. Uh-oh, I am in trouble. Sacrifice opened up his side, and what? Blood came out. Sacrifice. So what's that? A blood covenant. I told you a moment ago, that's why God wants two virgins to get married. Why? Because of the fact that the Israelites, when they got married, what would happen is that after the consummation night, the elders would get together and they would go to the marriage room and they would check the sheets to see whether or not that woman was a virgin. And if she wasn't, they would take her out and stone her to death. That's how critical covenant was to the Hebrew culture. But here it is, watch this. Because when a man penetrates a woman, what happens? Blood issues forth. So therefore, blood on the shaft now signifies covenant. I submit to us today that the reason why there is 51% divorce rate in this country is because we stopped shedding blood. Because the majority of the relationships in this world today, especially in this country, the majority of them, the folks are already sexually active once they get married. And that was not the plan of God. Are y'all still with me? Amen. And so therefore, for all you folks who are unmarried right now, ain't supposed to be no experiments. This ain't Mikey time. You know, well, see, you tried to see if you like it. You don't need to be doing this. You don't need to be doing that. Because watch this. If in fact then you are believing God that this individual is the one that God wants you to be with at this time, is God not so still infinite in his wisdom that he can't find the person for you that will satisfy your needs? And then let me tell you something. If you are a virgin, even men, y'all young brothers, even men, because if you were a virgin, watch this. If you were a virgin when you got married, then there wouldn't have been no needs. Y'all hearing me here? The only reason why some of us still got an itch you can't scratch is because you were doing things you shouldn't have been doing. Lord, help me today. Man, I tell you, and I can't even give you all I want to give you today. I'm going to give you enough, though, all right? So he makes the sacrifice, man. Blood covenant between the two of them. The blood covenant. And then watch this here. One of the other things you got to remember is this. Don't be fooled by the fallacy that you think that there's only one person on this planet who can be your mate. Because there are some of us that would think that on this whole big, wonderful planet, 6.3 billion people, and you mean to tell me that God can't make but one person that can be suitable for you? So what God does is that throughout your life, he brings you prospects. He brings you people you can look at to choose from. And so therefore, you make the choice as to who your mate is going to be. Come on, somebody. Because watch this. Because for God just to say, hey, this is going to be him, that's going to be her, to do that is to violate your will. God gave you your own will. So therefore, because he gave you your own will, you make the choice as to who's going to be in your life. So therefore, don't be blaming God. If y'all ain't getting along right now, it ain't God. It's you and your bad decision. Because there are some of us in this room right now that you have made one bad decision after another as it relates to relationships in your life. Because there are some of us in here right now, you are habitually making the same mistakes. Why? Because you keep on choosing the same people. The woman or the man in your life looks like the very first one you picked. Uh-oh. Look just like the first one you picked. Act just like that person. And watch it. And every time you break up with somebody, here you think you'd have made a change. But in actuality, the person you end up with is an individual who's just like the other one. And here it is, you've made this constant mistake, and you thinking about, watch this, by the fact that you changed names, that somehow or another it changed the situation. Are y'all still with me? Amen. And so that becomes one of the most critical problems in the body of Christ today, because there are so many of you who just don't know how to make the right choices. The Bible says, do not be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. Oh, I got good ground now. Don't be yoked together with what? An unbeliever. So that means if the man or if the woman don't believe in the same God you believe in and have the same convictions that you possess, the Bible says he or she should not be in your life. And sister, quit lying to yourself and saying, I'm witnessing to him because I'm trying to get him saved. Because the deal is, you know you ain't really trying to get that boy saved. Come on now. You know that you're trying to get your groove on. You know what the deal is. Come on. Don't even try it. You know what you're trying to do. You looked at that boy's legs. You looked at his shoulders. You saw the muscles, man. And you saw all that stuff and forgot about the fact he wasn't working. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Boy, he ain't got a job nowhere. You love your boo so much. Come on now. You love him so much that you don't care what he about. You just know you want a body. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? And that's the reason why there are so many of you that watch this, that right now, you ain't got nothing but a body count going on in your life. And let me tell you something else. Do you understand? Do you understand? I want you to hear something from me real good. Do you understand that every time you join yourself to another individual, it is not just your two bodies joining. It is also your two spirits join. So what happens is this here. Here you are, and you finally find the one that you desire, that you choice, you choose, that you're going to marry. So you stand there and you choose. And so this day you say, this day I give you my all. Lie. And the reason why it's a lie is because a piece of you is floating around with every individual you ever united with. So you don't give your all. All you give is what's left. Lord, y'all still glad to see me? So, what we got to understand, y'all, as I said a moment ago, is that it takes more than love to sustain a marriage. Let me show you something. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 3 and 4. Proverbs 24, verses 3 and 4. Look what it says. It says, through wisdom, a house is built. Amen. And by understanding, it is established. And by knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. So therefore, it don't say nothing about love. God says the way your house is going to be maintained is if, in fact, the two of you understand that the way to keep it together is through wisdom. So, brother, it means that you got to take the time to actually get to know this woman. You got to know what takes her up, what takes her down, what makes her happy, what makes her snappy. What makes her glad? What makes her sad? What turns her on? What turns her off? Because the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, it says there that you have to dwell with her according to knowledge. Amen. And so once you get the information about her, now you dwell with her according to wisdom. Now let me show you something. When I talk about wisdom. So let's say that you know what time of the month it is that she normally is not too pleasant. The time of the month is she's kind of snappy. Are y'all with me here? So because you have identified that through wisdom, what you do is begin to adjust yourself. When you see certain changes in her demeanor, in her attitude, in her behavior, you adjust yourself. So you can dwell with her now according to your wisdom. You know how she does, or what she does.